again. Welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm Justine Ward, your host, and this week we pay tribute to Bob Hope, 10 years after his death at 100 years old, July 27, 2003. At his centennial birthday celebration, he kept his self-deprecating sense of humor, saying, "I'm so old they canceled my blood type." Bob Hope was beloved by U.S. servicemen and women. He made 57 tours with the USO between 1942 and 1988. His comic monologues were broadcast to American armed forces around the world during World War II. In our first segment, we have a few excerpts from Bob Hope on Command Performance USA, broadcast on Armed Forces Radio Service, Christmas Day, 1942, 43, and 44.
Command Performance USA. The greatest entertainers in America is requested by you, the service men and women of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week till it's over, over there. Christmas greetings from the USA gang as the American entertainment industry joins the Armed Forces Radio Service to wind up its third consecutive year of broadcasting to you, men and women of the United Nations. With the exception of a few of your favorite stars who have not yet returned from overseas, we have with us tonight all the great names of Hollywood and a few from the San Fernando Valley, too. The studio is gaily decked with holly wreaths and mistletoe, and we're all set to dig down in your Christmas stocking, which is crammed full of comedians, sweets and, what sweets, goodies and evening gowns, yeah, toys, games and puzzles, and music boxes all wound up with your favorite melodies. And first out of the sock is your master of ceremonies, comedian, pool player and fur trapper, Bob Hope.
Thank you. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Christmas Command Performance Hope. Telling all you Japs and Nazis from Berlin to Sumatra, your chances are as slim as a half of Frank Sinatra. I thought that'd be an egg with a bobby sock for a minute there. But you know, this year Christmas is being celebrated by young Americans in freezing weather, in hot weather, damp weather, foggy weather, and some of our servicemen are outside of California, too. Really, our men are scattered all over the world, and the Army has gone to a lot of trouble to make sure that they have a white Christmas wherever they are. On December 25th, all the cooks have orders to bleach the beans. Beans, that's G.I. caviar. And you know, it's a funny thing, but the men overseas don't like to receive Christmas cards. No, sir. They get suspicious now whenever they see anything that starts with greetings. But Christmas packages really make them happy. I won't say they were very anxious to get their presents last year, but when the sergeant came out with a mail and yelled, "Come and get it," between "come and get it," he got it. You, boy, you. That other tongue got in the way. One soldier received a beautiful sweater from his girl for Christmas, but there was only one trouble. She forgot to put armholes in it. He's now the only private in the European theater who salutes from the inside. Say the... where am I? Oh, yes, here we are. Of course, more than anything else, the soldiers would like Betty Grable for Christmas. The GIs know she's married to Harry James, but they figure that after the war, they're going to kill all the buglers anyway. At one camp, the bugler was so overcome with the Christmas spirit, he filled his bugle with Tom and Jerry's. It's the first time that he ever blew reveille and got W.C. Fields to enlist at the same time. But down in Hawaii, the soldiers couldn't get any Christmas trees for the holidays, so they just draped all the decorations around a hula girl's grass skirt. And it worked out swell, too. They've got the only Christmas tree in the world that can wiggle its tinsel. It's on the paper. I didn't think of it. I understand that. I understand that one outfit in the Pacific ate a peacock for Christmas. A peacock, that's a turkey with service stripes. And you know, Crosby didn't order any turkey this year. He's planning on eating a stork. That's the end of the joke. If he's smart, he'd plan on eating Sinatra. But the last time I celebrated Christmas with the men, we had turkey for dinner. I don't know exactly what part of the turkey I got, but if you put a mustache on it, you could call it Adolf. But enough. Enough of this side-splitting mirth. Yo-ho.
Bob Hope.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob, Command Performance Hope, telling all you soldiers, sailors, and Marines that although Johnny Doughboy found a rose in Ireland, what he really wants is that stinkweed in Berlin. Yes, sir, it's a great thrill and an honor to be on this Command Performance show on this Christmas Eve, the time of year when everyone has a feeling of love. Boy, you should see all the young couples walking in the park, the fellow with his arm around the girl and the man from the draft board with his arm around the fellow. But fellows, back home here, the women are making this a victory Christmas. My aunt is very patriotic. Yesterday she gave her girdle to the scrap drive. Now she's dreaming of a wide Christmas. And everything about my aunt is patriotic. Even her dog, the other day, chased me down the street, finally caught me and bit off the seat of my pants. Thank heavens it was Meatless Tuesday. But all the women are patriotic these days, and they're all doing their part. Today, wives are no longer backseat drivers, no sir. They sit up on the hood now with a straw and siphon the gas tanks of the cars in front of them. And lots of people are using substitutes for gas. One of the musicians in Al Newman's band filled his tank with whiskey, and it worked swell. Although that was the first time in history a Pontiac ever sang Sweet Adeline, staggered up Vine Street, flirted with a Buick, and spit in a traffic cop's eye. I live near Bing Crosby, and to save rubber, we're sharing the burden. One day he drives his car to the studio, and the next day I drive it. And... people are really saving their tires. In fact, I was riding home in the streetcar today, and at Vine Street, Henry Ford got on. That's the end of that joke. I don't know where... what an end. All the women here at home have been marvelous. They do everything. Tonight, I had a woman cab driver bring me down to the studio. She was wonderful. She was driving the cab with one hand and knitting a sweater with the other. In one block, she knit one, purl two, and hit three. And yesterday, I had a cab driver who had a little baby right in the front seat with her. As I got out and gave her a dollar, the baby started to cry. I had to wait 5 minutes for the change. You don't get that at first, and it sneaks up on you, you know? And you hate yourself for letting it. Nah, but fellas, Bob Hope. Thank you. How do you do, fellas? This is Bob Christmas, Command Performance Hope, wishing you servicemen all over the world a Merry Christmas and saying that the way you pistol-packing papas are spread out, Hitler and Tojo will never get the lead out. Christmas, this is the time of the year all civilians go to restaurants, pick up the menus, look at the meat selections, and reminisce. But the last few weeks, everybody's been busy shopping and sending presents to the boys overseas. Crosby's got a novel idea. Crosby's going to find a boy who's farthest away from the United States, and he's going to send him a wonderful gift, Frank Sinatra. I sent my uncle overseas a bottle of scotch. He's the hardest drinking man in the Army. In fact, he's the only man who was ever awarded the Order of the Purple Nose. Do they laugh for me too, Kay? But Christmas in Hollywood is really different. In California, Santa Claus doesn't come down the chimney with a bag. He just staggers around the patio with a blonde. And
And this Christmas spirit of fellowship and goodwill has affected all the members of our armed forces. I saw a happy soldier walking into the post office with a package under his arm, and he was singing Sweet Adeline. I said, be careful, there may be an MP around. He said, who do you think I've got in the package? But I'm happy because I finished my Christmas shopping this morning, and I've been out all afternoon buying expensive price tags. I drove down to do my shopping, and I have a new system. I don't bother to look for a parking place anymore. As soon as I get near Hollywood Boulevard, I sell. And with those stores crowded, going up in the elevator, I had to pinch my leg 3 times to see if it was mine. My case comes up tomorrow. One little kid wouldn't get in the elevator. He didn't want to be a rising sun. But I'm... more of a descending egg, isn't it, huh? And I've never seen such crowds of people. One store was so crowded, they posted an hourly list of survivors. There was such a mob, a pickpocket asked me to breathe in so he could get his hand out of my pocket. I walked over to a man with a gray beard and said, Santa Claus, what do you think I'll get for Christmas? He said, don't Santa me. I came into the store 3 months ago for some razor blades. What mobs? I wanted to stick a Christmas seal on a package, so I stuck out my tongue. Just then, the crowd gave a push. The next thing I knew, a Cocker Spaniel was licking my face and saying, well, don't act so surprised. You started it.
Bob Hope has been praised, quite rightfully, as the best monologist of his time. Here is a wonderful example of a folksy Bob Hope monologue on The Big Show with Tallulah Bankhead, broadcast December 17th, 1950.
Yes, darlings, this is Tallulah, broadcasting from Hollywood, Bankhead. Telling you that if you don't listen to The Big Show, you're a big schmo. Or if you're in a stew and you don't know what to do, listen to Tallulah. And you'll never be blue. So new.
Well, Tallulah Bankhead, girl Burl.
Well, Bob Hope.
Thank you, Tallulah. I'm happy to be here with you on your second Hollywood version of The Big Show.
Oh, it's nice having you, darling. Nice to catch you on the ground for a change.
Yes. I have been traveling a lot lately, but I've got to stop it. I have so many labels on my trunks, the laundry won't take them anymore.
And, Bob, darling, I know the sacrifice you're making, giving up the Los Angeles Rams-Chicago Bears championship game at the Coliseum.
And you're not kidding, but that's all right. I've got to keep working. After all, I'm a comedian. I have a government to support. But it's nice being here with you, Tallulah, during the Yuletide season. Of course, whenever I think of Christmas, I think of my old folks back home. Take it, Iowa. You know, the Christmas season brings out the sentiment in a body. Yes, sir. I'm the kind of guy who does a lot of traveling, but I'm like anybody else. No matter where you go, you never get very far away from that old hometown. And I was reared in Cleveland. I can remember way back to the time I was a baby. I was born in a poor family. My mother couldn't even afford talcum powder. She used to turn my little body over and sprinkle it with Dutch cleanser. Till I was 10 months old, I didn't know whether I was a boy or a kitchen sink. That's why at Christmas time, I like to go back to Cleveland to see my folks. And they're always happy to see me. Of course, they're just as happy getting it by mail, but I always feel sentimental about my hometown. With all the friendly faces, the familiar buildings, Main Street, Elm Street lying parallel to it, and my Uncle Louie lying parallel to both. People said he was a drunkard, but he wasn't. He only drank a little bit to steady himself. Sometimes he got so steady he couldn't move. My family were very poor, and we lived in a little shack, just 2 rooms and a path. But even though... But couldn't hear it, huh? But even though... But even though we were poverty-stricken, I was even sophisticated as a baby. I was so high class, I wouldn't suck my thumb till they put it in a cigarette holder. But my mother was one of those dear hearts and gentle people. She tried to raise us right, even though we were broke. She couldn't buy us underwear, but she did the best she could. She lined us all up and painted buttons on our stomachs. She couldn't even afford to buy me a haircut. My hair was so long, till I was 19 years old, I thought I was a St. Bernard. I found out I wasn't just in time. I was going steady with an Airedale. But what a picture comes to mind when I think of the old hometown. Old Pappy Walker sitting in front of the general store carving a sailboat in a bottle. I wonder if he ever got out of the bottle when the sailboat was finished. And then there was Miss Drainafor, my old teacher. I can still see her sitting in the classroom, an old lady just knitting. She was knitting an old man. On a vacation, Miss Drainafor used to go to the big city and burn the candle at both ends. For weeks after, she couldn't put on a hat or sit down. And when I think of the Yuletide season, I always think of my parents. My father was a great man and a big practical joker, too. So was my mother. They finally played a trick on each other. Me. You know, I started the first quiz show in Cleveland. When I was born, my father took one look at me and asked the doctor, "What is it?" Doctor answered, "Well, I missed that one. Can I stand by for the jackpot?" Father was betting on a boy and mother was betting on a girl. But Doctor won. He had me across the board. But we were a proud family, people of the soil. We'd been farmers for generations, and everything we did was connected with the soil. In fact, we were the dirtiest family in the state. But it was a happy family. My father worshipped my mother. He got her everything. He wasn't wealthy. He was a shoplifter. When he walked out of a department store, the whole left side of the building sagged. Like all families, we were hit by the Depression. My father was hurt in the crash of 29. The runway at Minsky's collapsed on his head. Well, before I knew it, it was time for me to go to school. I was enrolled in a finishing school for backward children. And I did very well. I started in the eighth grade, and in no time at all, I was back in kindergarten. It was in the third grade that I first fell in love. I know it sounds kind of silly to be in love with the third grade, but don't forget, I was 38 years old. And I'll never forget the first time I kissed my little girlfriend. She was wearing braces, and I was wearing braces. And when we kissed, our braces locked. After that, we went everywhere together. Then came graduation time, with all the kids in their caps and gowns. I caused quite a sensation. My gown was strapless. And I did very well in sports at school. I had a typical athlete's physique. Big chest, hard stomach. But that's all behind me now. But I used to play football when I was in school. It was part of the cure. And all of the fans around Cleveland knew my name. It was painted on my bucket. I had a very peculiar nickname. They called me Neckline Hope. I was always plunging down the middle, but never really showed anything. My first year, I was disqualified from playing football for a scholastic reason. Stupidity. I thought the big nine were my toes. It was right about then that I met her. Yes, her. I never did find out what her name was. She was a vision of loveliness. She had long blonde hair and luscious red lips, which she wore in a bun on the top of her head. But the best part about her was that she was tattooed. That made it nice for me because I couldn't afford a television set. We almost broke up. I'd seen the picture before. We were very much in love. She called me baby, and I called her my little pussycat. I called her pussycat because I thought she'd take the hint and shave off her whiskers. Finally came the day of our wedding. She was a sentimental girl, so she got married in her grandmother's dress. She looked lovely, but her poor grandmother almost froze to death. It was a lovely ceremony, except for the kiss. My nose created a suction, and we had to be separated with a razor blade. Yes, we were married. And tomorrow marks our 25th anniversary. It'll be 25 years since we've talked to each other.
And now we continue our tribute to Bob Hope with a complete show. This is a version of a road picture with his co-stars Bing Crosby and Dorothy L'Amour called Road to Hollywood. Bob Hope made a total of 7 road pictures with Crosby and L'Amour. He makes light of his real birth name, Leslie Towns Hope, in this Philco Radio Time program, broadcast January 29th, 1947.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
Carpenter welcoming you to Philco Radio Time, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter, his orchestra and chorus, the charioteers, Skitch Henderson, and Bing's guests, Bob Hope and Dorothy L'Amour.
Ken, you don't mean Bob Hope, the author of that current bestseller, So This Is Peace. Is he here?
Mm-hmm.
George Bernard Jaw?
In person.
And Dorothy L'Amour, the beauteous siren of Paramount Pictures, also is present?
Old Dottie's here, too.
Oh, what a gay, mad night this pretends to be. Let us away, John Scott. My heart veritably goes crazy.
Can't we simply pass the time of day? Do you have to smile at me that way? My heart goes crazy. It goes bump, de bump, bump. Can't we just shake hands and feel at ease? Do you have to give that extra squeeze? My heart goes crazy. It goes bump, de bump, bump, bump. My doctor told me this has got to stop. He never heard a beat like hippity, hippity hop. When the conversation's going fine, must you get your lips so close to mine? My heart goes crazy. It goes bump, de bump, bump. What'll I do? You got me crazy too.
My heart goes crazy. Bump.
It goes bump, bump, de bump, bump.
Can't you just shake hands and feel at ease? Do you have to give that extra squeeze?
This thing is
My
gone.
My heart goes crazy.
It goes bump, de bump, bump, bump. My doctor told me this has got to stop. He never heard a beat like hippity, hippity hop. When the conversation's going fine, must you get your lips so close to mine? My heart goes crazy. It goes bump, de bump, bump. What'll I do?
No use, I'm through.
you got me. You got me crazy too.
Bing.
Thank you, Ken.
By the way, do you want to know what makes my heart go crazy?
I'm not too eager, Ken, but I'll bet it begins with Philco.
Oh, you're so right, Bing. It's a Philco 1201.
Ken, you know Bob Hope is here tonight.
Well, yeah, I know.
And Dorothy L'Amour. So tonight, let brevity be your keynote. Now, the folks are waiting to hear from L'Amour.
Well, Dottie is beautiful and charming, but personally, my heart still goes crazy for the 1201. That's the streamlined, automatic way to play records.
Mm-hmm. Is it as attractive in a sarong as L'Amour?
No, but the 1201 is the easiest radio phonograph in the world to spin your records on.
Doesn't spin any easier than Hope. He's really in a whirl, that boy. Perpetual whirl.
Say, since you mentioned Hope, Bing, you could...
I shouldn't have.
Well, you did. You know, you can catch his program on your 1201. Has a fine radio, too. Sounds like you're right in the studio with Bob.
Right in the studio, maybe, but nowhere near the microphone on his show.
Well, then just use the phonograph.
You've got a bulldozer to get up to the microphone.
Just use the phonograph. You just slide a record in the 1201, it plays automatically. No needles to change, no tone arm to touch, no adjustments whatsoever to make.
Oh, it's a dream set, Ken, really. Very chic, too.
Yes, Bing, it's so completely automatic you could play it blindfolded. It's obviously a natural for parties and dancing. Puts more zip in your listening pleasure, whether it's radio or records. That's why Philco's 1201 has been an overnight sensation. It's the largest selling radio phonograph in the world today. It's the new invention in radio from Philco, the leader.
Thank you very much. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Crosby, throw me a straight line and let's get this egg rolling. How much time can you waste here? Let's move.
Steady, influence, steady. By the way, where did you get those green stains on your elbows? Off the pool table?
No, those aren't green stains, grass stains. I was looking down a gopher hole trying to find your Hooper rating, you know.
You're so happy and gay just because you're on top.
Thank
but tonight,
you. Thank
tonight,
you.
Bob, we're going to have a little class on the program.
Why are you leaving?
Carpenter, will you take over, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, many of you have written in asking, how did Bing Crosby and Bob Hope first meet? Many of you have written in asking, when did they first meet? Many of you have written in asking, why did they first meet?
That's enough meat. Let's get to them potatoes. Do you mind?
Let the man talk, will you?
Many of you have asked, how did Bob and Bing first meet Dorothy L'Amour?
Hey, babe, going our way?
Oh, no, going my way.
Can't get that Oscar off your mind, can you? Polishes it all the time.
So tonight, these and many other questions will be answered in an original play entitled The Road to Hollywood, starring Bing Crosby, Bob Hope, and Dorothy L'Amour. Music, Mr. Trotter. Story opens many, 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 many
Not
years
so
ago.
Not so many years, please.
We find Bing Crosby driving westward from New York City. He's flopped on Broadway, the boulevard of broken dreams. And now, practically penniless and in very low spirits, he pulls into a small garage on the outskirts of Cleveland, Ohio.
I'd like you to take a look at this motor. I think it's missing.
Okay. Say, that's quite a motor you got in there. A squirrel in a cage.
Yeah, I get 4 miles to the acorn, too. Say, look, bud, I'm on my way to California. I got to get this car fixed. I think the body has a wiggle.
Well, I can fix that. I know all about body wiggles. I used to sell candy in a burlesque show.
Say, you're a pretty good mechanic, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
That nose of yours ought to be great for changing tires.
And that ain't all. You should see it siphon gas. That's where I live.
You think you're going to get this thing fixed soon, you know, so I can get going? California?
What are you going out there for? The orange picking season?
Orange picking? No, I'm going out there and getting pictures, boy.
You're going to get in pictures?
Yes.
Drop in on your way back.
Come on, get to work on the car, will you?
Getting right at it. Here we go. Moving right in. That was all it needed, a new spark plug.
Thank you.
Bub, how much do I owe you?
$3.
$3? You know, a young fellow like you ought to be in pictures, too.
$3.
Yeah, I was just thinking, a handsome young fellow like you, you ought to be in pictures.
$2.50.
I can tell just looking at you. I bet you got plenty of talent.
$2.
And that left profile. Ronald Coleman.
$1.50.
And that right profile. Gary Cooper.
75 cents.
I can see your name in lights and girls all over the country swooning when your face comes upon the screen.
Say, you want to sell this car? I got to get to California.
No, I don't want to sell the car.
I'll give you my gold-plated yo-yo, 2 boxes of bubble gum, and $50 for it.
You got $50? Look, why don't you get your $50 and come on out the coast with me?
You mean you'll take me?
I'm going to try.
Okay, I'll go to Hollywood with you. By the way, what's your name?
Bing Crosby. What's yours?
Leslie Towns Hope.
That has got to go. Haven't you got a nickname?
A nickname?
Yeah, what do the guys around the pool room call you?
Can you say that on this network?
What do your folks call you?
I don't know. They always spelled it out.
You know what I think I shall call you? I shall call you Bob.
Good.
Up in. We're off to California. Chicago is our first stop.
While Bing and Bob are driving to Chicago and getting acquainted with each other, the charioteers sing, "You Can't See the Sun When You're Crying."
The sun when you're crying. A little tear can hide the brightest sky of blue. Oh, you can't hear a song when you're sighing. No matter how the birds sing for you.
Suppose you made believe your eyes were cloudy window panes. I'm sure you'd clean them up to look for rainbows when it rains.
You can't see the sun when you're crying. So smile and let the sun shine through.
Cloudy window panes. I'm sure you'd clean them up to look for rainbows when it rains.
You can't see the sun when you're crying. So smile and let the sun shine through.
We now pick up our two stalwarts in Chicago. They've become acquainted, in fact, very well acquainted.
You took my $50 and bet it on a horse. And what a glue pot. We haven't had anything to eat for 3 days.
Oh, come on, cheer up. We're in Chicago, the Windy City. Oh, they sure have pretty girls here.
I'm too sick to look.
You are sick.
We're broke. We're broke. We're in a strange town. We have no friends.
We're hungry.
There's only one way out.
You mean?
We'll commit suicide. We'll jump off the highest building in town.
That's the Wrigley Building.
Mm-hmm.
24 story.
Yeah.
We'll go to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Walk across the roof to the edge and zing. Tutti frutti.
Was your mother frightened by Orson Welles?
Maybe we shouldn't jump off a building that is so tall. I get dizzy in high places.
Yeah, let's try this building right here, Marshall Field and Company.
Okay. We jump together.
Together.
Come on. Let's go inside.
No, let's stay here in window shop for a few minutes.
Oh, come on. Come on. Now, come on inside.
Okay.
Here's the elevators. Ouch. Hey, Hope, stop. I can't breathe.
Sorry, I was pushing the wrong button.
We go straight to the roof.
Sorry, nothing. I was pushing the wrong button. I'd like to try it again if you don't mind.
Small souffle.
I thought the delivery was wrong. I'm right. All right.
Straight we go to the roof, huh?
Right to the roof.
Nothing will stop us.
Take that egg with us.
Right, right.
Would you boys like to ride my elevator?
Would we?
Don't win at the end.
Boy, what a cute elevator operator. What are you doing later, honey? Huh?
Going up.
Yeah.
Say, aren't these nice elevators?
Yeah, and those shafts ain't bad either.
You gotta commit suicide. Now, never mind this pretty girl.
What a way to die. What a way to die.
Second floor, books, magazines, and periodicals.
Here's what I get off.
We're jumping off the roof. What do you mean you're getting off here?
It's a long jump. I want something to read on the way down.
Oh, no, you don't. Say, honey, that's quite an outfit you're wearing. What do you call it?
A sarong.
This thing has no shoulders. What holds it up? Public opinion?
What's your name, sweetie?
Dorothy L'Amour.
L'Amour, that's French for love, shall we?
Well, here's the roof. Bon voyage. That's French for have a nice jump.
Say, Bob, I just thought of something. There's no sense in being too rash about this thing. You jump off the roof today, I'll jump off tomorrow.
Oh, no, you bet my money on that horse and you jump first.
Well, that's why I want to stick around a little more. The horse may come in. Could be.
Not with those three legs. You take the leap today. I want to read about you in the papers. Besides, Dorothy here would be lonesome with both of us gone. Go on, jump. Say, honey, how about you and me having dinner tonight, huh?
All right, come on, Hope. Kiss me goodbye and jump.
Oh, but I can't kill myself. What'll become of the baby? Think of the baby.
What baby?
My mother's baby, me.
I'll tell you what, fellas. I work in a little nightclub when I finish here. Mm-hmm. Why don't you drop in there tonight and we'll talk this all over?
Okay.
Where do you work, honey?
Society Kid Hogan's Classy Cabaret.
Oh, it's a date. We'll get our brass knuckles and meet you there at 8.
Inasmuch as the boys are practically starving, we take you immediately to Society Kid Hogan's Classy Cabaret.
Who was that little baby who just played the piano?
Oh, that little tot's name is Skitch Henderson. He's only 2 years old.
Oh, that's a cute tuxedo he's wearing with the satin lapels and the diapers. Isn't that cute?
I'll bet he's the only musician that Petrillo has to burp.
Quiet. Here comes Dottie out on the floor.
Let every noise be still.
Cigarette that bears a lipstick's traces, an airline ticket to romantic places, and still my heart has wings. These foolish things remind me of you. A tinkling piano in the next apartment, those stumbling words that told you what my heart meant. A fairground's painted swings, these foolish things remind me of you. You came, you saw, you conquered me. When you did that to me, I knew somehow this had to be. The winds of March that make my heart a dancer, a telephone that rings, but who's to answer? Oh, how the ghost of you clings. These foolish things remind me of you. You came, you saw, you conquered me. When you did that to me, I knew somehow this had to be. The winds of March that make my heart a dancer, a telephone that rings, but who's to answer? Oh, how the ghost of you clings. These foolish things remind me.
How's it going?
A fine joint you work in. No tablecloths.
There was a tablecloth till you ate it.
Well, it had soup on it, and don't sneer at me. You ate the napkins. Call a waiter. I'm starving.
How can we eat? We haven't got any money.
Well, Dorothy works here. We can order some food and have them take it out of her salary.
Now, just a minute, boys. You're moving pretty fast. You'd think we were partners.
Partners? Hmm. Say, how much money have you got saved up, Dorothy?
About $60.
Honey, I got a hunch that you're going to Hollywood with us.
I can't. Who'll act as my chaperone?
He will.
Gee, two chaperones. I guess I'll be safe.
Why, certainly. Come on, let's go, huh?
So Dorothy Lamour joined Bing and Bob in Chicago, and they continued westward. Let us drop in on our friends at East Philco, Kansas, where they've spent the night. They awakened bright and early.
You know what side your console is buttered on, don't they? They awakened bright and early.
They awakened bright.
Here we are.
Good morning, Bob. How did you sleep?
Oh, fine. How did you sleep, Bing?
Fine. How did you sleep, Dorothy?
Fine.
Gee, the walls are thin here, aren't they?
We now pick up our little group as they're nearing Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Boy, this western country is really beautiful, isn't it? What are those funny bushes rolling along?
Those are tumbling tumbleweeds.
Sounds like a cue for a song.
If it's not, we're going to be a minute and a half short tonight.
See them tumbling down, pledging their love to the ground. Lonely but free I'll be found, drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweeds. Cares of the past are behind, nowhere to go but I'll find, just where the trail will wind, drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweeds. I know when night is gone that a new world's born at dawn. I'll keep rolling along my heart is a song. Here on the range I belong, drifting along with the tumbling tumbleweed.
18 days after leaving Chicago, our nomads of the open road reach Albuquerque, New Mexico, where they're forced to sell their car for obvious reasons. At this very moment, they're in conference with a local businessman trying to close the deal.
Now, look, mister, this car is a terrific buy. It's in great shape. Buy it. When we're big hits in Hollywood, we'll send you a present. You believe we'll be big hits in Hollywood, don't you?
Ugh.
Ugh. Why don't you think we'll be big hits?
Too ugh.
I guess the biggest laugh of the show was one lousy. Cooper
techniques.
Are you the smiling Irishman?
No, me nasty Navajo.
Yes.
Scott McCumsey.
You don't like our car, huh?
What makes big smoke come from motor?
This is a Stanley steamer, Chief.
Yeah. Think of all the smoke signals you'd be able to send with a car. You know, it's all...
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
You can't go wrong, Chief. The value of this car is
heap big.
Pale face mean big heap.
You're just self-conscious.
Hurry up and tell him. I'm getting tired of holding up this rear axle.
Chief, this is the car for you. Listen to this horn.
Me like that. Me take call. Wait here. I bring wampum from teepee.
It's a good thing I told him I was bat boy for the Cleveland Indians.
Can I let go of this axle now?
Now, hold on. Wait a minute. Here he comes. Oh, and look at the bundle he's got in his arm. There ought to be a lot of greenbacks in that package, boy.
Yeah. You take wampum. Me take car for a ride.
Thanks, Chief, and happy landings.
Come on, rip that bundle open. It must be loaded with dough.
Oh, boy, there's got to be plenty of loot in here.
Hey, we've been scalped. This isn't dough. It's three Indian blankets.
Ah, what will happen to our young hopefuls with no money and three Indian blankets? Will they get a job standing in front of a cigar store? No. Will the fickle finger of fate keep them from reaching Hollywood, their dream city? What will they do?
Well, go ahead and tell them. We're practically running into Henry Morgan's program now.
Yeah, the finish of this sketch has got to be a shave-a-thon if we don't hurry.
Hurry up now.
Well, anyhow, folks, our two heroes and our heroine traded in their Indian blankets for one bus ticket to Hollywood. But what good is one bus ticket for three people? Let us tune in and find out.
Yes, lady, this is a bus to Hollywood.
Thank you, driver. Come along, boys. Take my hand.
Hey, wait a minute. Are your two uncles going along, too?
Oh, these are my two young sons, Bingy and Bobby. They're big for their age.
How old are you, Bingy?
8 years old, going on 7.
And how old are you, Bobby?
Da-da, goo-goo, chi-chi bar.
Little Bobby, he doesn't talk very well, does he?
He's chewing tobacco.
Well, all right, lady, you can take him on the bus, but they'll have to sit on your lap.
Hot dig it! Come on!
All right. All out! All out! Hollywood!
Hollywood, oh boy. Come on, Mama.
Come on, Ma. Shake a leg.
I won't be able to move for a month.
Come on.
Come on.
Look where we are.
Paramount Studios.
Oh, we could never make good at Paramount. We don't know anybody on the inside.
We don't have to with what you got on the outside. Come on.
Paramount Studios.
Come on, kids. I tell you, now let me do the talking.
Okay.
My name is Bing Crosby, and these are my friends, Bob Hope and Dorothy L'Amour. We got loads of talent, and we'd like to get in pictures.
Very well. Just fill out these applications.
Oh,
What do you think happened, folks? The very next day, our three breadwinners all got jobs at Paramount Studios, doing what their great talents demanded. Let's eavesdrop on Dottie L'Amour.
Going up. Watch your step, please.
And now, Bing Crosby.
Whoa, back. Whoa, never. Whoa, boy, I'll have you curried here in no time. Now, whoa.
Last but not least, Bob Hope.
Hey, boy. Boy. More towels, please.
Yes, sir. Coming up. I wish people wouldn't smoke so many cigarettes in here. This is getting awful.
Of course, that isn't quite the way it happened.
Of course not. I haven't passed out towels in months.
We've had a lot of fun working together.
Remember the road to Zanzibar?
Remember the road to Singapore?
Remember the road to Morocco?
Remember the road to Morocco? There's so much that's happened since then.
Bob has written lots of books. All of them succeed.
And now that he has learned to write, he's gonna learn to read.
Incredible.
Remember the road to Morocco.
I don't care to go back again.
The villain followed Dorothy till he became a pest.
So now she's doing pictures where she's practically dressed.
Remember our big kissing scene.
I'm glad there was a crowd that day on stage 15.
Remember the road to Morocco. It's water that's over the dam.
And since then, a bouncing baby boy was born to Dot.
They're trying to figure whether it's a capital gain or not.
Remember the road to Morocco.
We sure got in many a jam.
But I told some of those funny jokes the natives seemed to like.
That's why the Chickens Union sent their hens out on a strike.
You made it ham a la mode.
Yeah, now. I guess we should forget about Morocco.
So, ladies and gentlemen, ends our little vignette. Here is your Philco man.
If tonight's drama inspires any of you listeners to take the road to Hollywood yourselves, don't forget that nowadays, Philco's new radio is standard equipment for traveling anywhere. And while we're looking back along the road, let me remind you that Philco pioneered the modern portable radio that plays on its own batteries. Along with such other Philco firsts as the original of all table model radios, the famous Philco Baby Grand. The first practical automobile radio. The modernized radio phonograph with no needles to change. These and many other electronic achievements have made Philco today the world's largest radio manufacturer. The undisputed leader of the radio industry since 1930. Because the greatest achievements in radio tone, performance, and value have come from the Philco laboratories first. Always thinking ahead, Philco gives you tomorrow in your radio set today. So when you look for your new radio or radio phonograph now, look at the leader first. Look at a Philco, famous for quality the world over.
We've been framed. Now from the Paramount picture, Blue Skies, you keep coming back like a song. Skitch Henderson, flailing the Baldwin. Steady, man.
Can't run away from you, dear. I've tried so hard, but I fear you'll always follow me near and far. Just when I think that I'm set, just when I've learned to forget, I close my eyes, dear, and there you are. are. You'll keep coming back like a song. A song that keeps saying, remember the sweet used to be that was once you and me. Keeps coming back like an old melody. The perfume of roses in May. Returns to my room in December. From out of the past, where forgotten things belong, you keep coming back like a song. Coming back like a song.
Before shoving off for the Casa Krovny, I'd like to thank Bob and Dottie for dropping in tonight.
Oh, I was most happy to, Bing, and it was really a thrill being here.
Well, you got paid. No wonder you're thrilled.
Please, please, Bob, let's stay in the land of make-believe. Let's not bring up any dreary business details. Anyhow, folks, next week Peggy Lee returns to our little flock, and also as your special guest, we will have Beatrice Lilly.
Oh, I must tune in.
Incidentally, I must get home now, brush my teeth with Pepsodent.
Yeah, and I must get home and sleep in my Philco console.
See you at Paramount tomorrow morning, Robert. Shooting a picture, you are, we know.
Yeah, we're finished with Favorite Brunette, you know. But try to be on time, will you,
yes,
for Road to Rio?
See you at the crack of dawn. Bring a lime cola, will you? Good night, folks.
This program is produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Murdo McKenzie. Tune in to Philco Radio Time next week when Peggy Lee returns, and Bing's guest will be Beatrice Lilly. And remember, only Philco makes the 1201. It's the newest invention in radio from Philco, the leader.
Grandson Zach Hope recounted that when asked on his deathbed where he wanted to be buried, Hope told his wife Dolores, "Surprise me." She survived him until 2011, when she passed away at age 102. Their graves are in the Bob Hope Memorial Garden at San Fernando Mission Cemetery in Los Angeles. Thank you for listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm Justine Ward, your host, saying thanks for the memories in this tribute to Bob Hope. So long for a while.